The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey, this is Danielle, and welcome to the show. I'm so excited to welcome my friend to the show. What's up, Rhonda?
Hey.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. It's about time Chicago got some sunshine, because we've been living in the very dark ages lately, but today the sun is out, and yes. I'm excited for that.
I, too, am very excited to have some warmth, because these gray skies that we've had, everybody was experiencing that seasonal affective disorder. Everybody was off.
Yes.
It was dark in Gotham City.
Yes.
I want to talk today about the pressure of not being average. The pressure of the self-imposed pressure of like going on that journey to really discover your power and stand in it and grow in it and give it out. So not just enough to find your power, but to stand in your power and receive it, but then to actually grow in that power, not run from it, and then be so confident in your power and in your light and in your gift that you can pour it into others. Because as you said in our earlier conversation, you cannot pour from an empty cup.
Right.
So if we got to charge ourselves up, it's like it's a process and understanding how we get our power back,
right,
which is like self-care. How did you figure out how to get your power back? So let me start from the very, very beginning. Have you ever felt like you lost your power?
Yes, 100%. But I didn't realize that I'd lost my power. Other people saw it. And I guess I just wasn't aware. I was so caught up in everything that I was doing that I didn't realize it. Just kind of to switch it a little bit, it is so important to have honest people in your life, because those are the people who are going to shine a little bit of light on the stuff that you don't really want people to see. And when you're thinking about your power and standing in your power and getting your power back, or like pouring that power into other people, you gotta, you know, shine some light in some of those dark spaces in your life, and fix that stuff so that you can really bring your power out and share it with other people. And so when I'm thinking about my little brother, who is 23, shout out to Chris.
What up, Chris?
In California. He has been such an inspiration to me, and we grew up like not getting along. Like, I'm 8 years older than him, and we would like fight and all that crazy shit. But when he left home, he went to the Marines and did 4 years there, and we've just like gotten a lot closer since he's become an adult. But we had a conversation back in September, and he was just telling me like, man, you're not yourself. Like, what's up with you? And I'm like, I am. I'm gainfully employed. I buy any sneaker that I want. I got a house. I got a dog. I got a car. I got this. I got, you know, all of these things. And he like, yeah, but you just not you. Like, you know, you spend all of that money on all of that other stuff. You should think about getting yourself a personal trainer. So at this point, I'm like, oh, so I'm fat now.
Right.
I'm a
fat ass Kelly Price. You know that quote?
Right. So he's like, it's not even about that. Like, you need some, like, motivation. Like, yeah, you go to the gym every now and then, but you need somebody who's going to hold you accountable. And, you know, he had a very smooth way of giving it to me, because he know, like, I'm the type of person, or was the type of person, like, any type of critical feedback, I would just be like, well, fuck y'all, because, you know, I'm doing all this other great stuff and not really want to shine the light on those dark places. And so I was like, all right, bet. So I signed up for the 6-week challenge, started working out. Long story short, that was the moment in my life, or the thing in my life, that pushed my power back to the surface, I should say. because I was able to realize how strong I actually am and how much I can actually do, and pushing myself to do things that I've never done, has been just so beneficial for me. And I didn't realize that I had lost that power, but now that I have it back and I'm working to getting it all back, like I ain't 100%, but I'm 75. So now that I'm like in the process of getting that back, because I realize it, like my whole life is different. I just feel like a different person. I ain't taking no shit off of nobody. I'm not saying yes to everybody because they asked me to do something. I'm just learning more about myself, and I feel very confident that I can now pour into someone else because I have something in me to give. So
I think it is, it's like so many full circle moments, like the different phases that we go through in life, because in order for you to get all of those things that your brother pointed out that you had to have some sort of power. Like you said, you have a job, you have your house, you did all of the things correctly that you were supposed to do. But even in doing those, somebody who knows who you are deep on the inside could see that you still weren't being all that you could be. I think that's the thing I love about physical exercise, and everybody doesn't like physical exercise. You walk into a room and you will say what you can do as soon as you get there.
Yep.
Like today we're doing this. Like, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Oh my God, I won't be able to do that. But then when you do it and you still here and you still standing and you're strong, and it's like, wait, I can do another one. Mm-hmm. I can do another one.
Yeah.
It's like that physical exercise reaffirms who you are and what you really can do on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Having said all of that context and how strong we are and how you got to figure out your power in the workplace, you a Black woman.
Yeah.
I'm a Black woman. You can be smart. You can be talented. You can have the answers. You can watch your facial expressions and watch your tone and watch your language.
Mm-hmm.
And people will still make whatever assumptions they want to make about you, which in turn will have you dimming your light.
Yeah.
Trying to make other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So it is this incredible balance as a woman of being full and stepping in your power and knowing who you are, and then having to manage that power in order to make other people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
How have you learned how to balance the two, especially because you're still in the power building process? As you said, like, I am putting myself first. I am saying no to people. I am not, like, always volunteering to solve everybody else's problems and challenges. I recognize who is for me and who is not necessarily for me.
Mm-hmm.
How has that impacted your relationships with people?
I think I had to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and also be very comfortable with being disliked. People ain't gonna like you.
That's hard. So, I don't want to talk. Rhonda, listen. Listen. Okay? We have worked in schools. We know what it looks like when children are bullied.
Mm-hmm.
I also know what it looks like when adults are bullied.
Correct.
Because I have been bullied as an adult.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, I don't know.
I think in thinking about the context of education, like, you have to be that person. Because if not, it's not beneficial to kids. Like, I'm going to say some things that are very unpopular that others may not like, but I'm thinking about how this impacts the children that I get to serve every single day. And so one of the things that I found interesting in my work experience is I am not the fan favorite of the Black women that I work with.
Tell me more, because let's talk about Black women relationships in the workplace.
I really couldn't tell you why or how. I feel like a lot of the transition from people being cool with me to not being cool with me was when I went from teaching to leadership. Because when you're in leadership, like, you just, you know, a lot of stuff that, you know, you can't share with the general public. And you're responsible for upholding the expectations of the school, no matter what. And so there's a lot of, I've encountered some Black women in the workplace that want you to sister girl with them all the time. And I can't sister girl because I'm a professional. And, like, some things, right is right and wrong is wrong. And so I've experienced a lot of the bullying, so to speak, in, like, upholding, like, school expectations. And Black people sometimes want you to cut corners for them or, like, you know, just give them some extra leeway. And it's just like, no, like, we decided that this was the expectation and you're upset with me because I'm upholding the expectation. I'm not doing something wrong. I'm doing something 100% right. And you feel because I look like you that you should get a pass. And that is a huge frustration for me because these are the same people that are like, oh, they don't like Black people around here. Da, 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 da. It's like, no, you're not following the rules.
It's pretty simple. You're not following the rules. That's why they don't like you around here. It's not like they, it's not that they dislike Black people. It's because, yeah, I think you said it. The sister girl part. You and I met in a professional setting.
Right.
And somehow we were still able to form a very genuine friendship without ever crossing inappropriate boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the workplace, there are so many assumptions between Black women that, like, just because we are both here, and we are both here, and there is a sense of connectedness, but that don't mean, sis, like, you get to just chill.
Correct.
Or it doesn't, it also doesn't mean, sis, that you get to talk to me in a way that you talk to your people outside of here. Because we are at work.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had to deal with experiences where you had to stay professional even though other people weren't? Like, you had to be the model?
Yes. And let me tell you, I've grown by leaps and bounds because people almost test you, I feel like, sometimes, just to see what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I 100% have rest in bitch face.
Me too. I'm
a very direct person, and people automatically have this assumption about me, like, oh, she's mean, like, she's standoffish, she's unapproachable. But it's like, no, I'm not any of those things. And when people get to know me, they're like, oh, yeah, you're not like that. But the moment that I then have to be like, actually, when you did X, Y, and Z, this was incorrect. Or actually, like, no, I can't honor this, this, and that because you didn't meet this expectation, then I'm a bitch.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, I want to push Black people to be able to separate professionalism and, like, sister girl and homeboying. Like, we got to separate the two because our white colleagues are looking at that.
Yes.
They're looking at how we interact in the professional spaces. And if it's a lot of sister girling, then you wonder why they're like, oh, they're just so unprofessional. Like, no, it's not that we unprofessional. Like, y'all envious of our connection, you know, I think that's a little bit of it. But also, like, if the job ain't getting done, then that only validates what they already think. And so as a people, and I know this is not, you know, a popular opinion, but, like, we got to learn how to separate the two a lot better. Like, we rooting for everybody Black, but I'm rooting for everybody Black who's doing what's right.
Come on, say that again.
In your body. Like, I am very protective of my image and how I appear and, like, how I represent my culture. And so I'm rooting for everybody Black who's doing what they're supposed to do. Like, that, and that's just the bottom line, so.
I share that same sentiment. Have you ever had to check somebody and bring them back into the fold, especially in leadership? So I know it can be hard when it's peer-to-peer relationships is one thing. When it's like you are an administrator or at a different level, how can you or how have you had to like bring people back? Like, I'm not one of your friends outside. Mm-hmm. Like, we are here in this space together.
I think it comes from like working to build a relationship with that person. And then that kind of opens the door for those more sensitive conversations, I'll say. I've definitely had to pull people in, like, hey, like, I get, you know, we cool and all, but, like, we can't talk to each other like that in the workplace. And sometimes it's been well received, and sometimes those people don't speak to me anymore. But I've been okay with that. Like, some people have to grow on their own, and I don't have to be, I'm not the person that's going to teach everybody that lesson at their job that they take with them for many years to come, right? Like, I'm going to drop the seed and you may need to receive it from someone else, but that's not going to keep me from saying like, hey, you know, be a little bit more tactful in what you say. But then you get the accusation of like, that's the white man's rule and you're just trying to be like the white man. It's just like, no, I'm just trying to be professional.
Yes. I think I need to receive that message. I'm always trying to, I somehow feel like I must leave the space better than I found it. So I must try to help you understand why this was harmful. No, I may just need to go ahead and sow a seed. My light will be here, might help that seed grow, might start to germinate, might not. Whether it does or it doesn't, that has to do with the quality of your soil. Mm-hmm. And if you will receive it, like, and that's just it. And like allowing people to be who they are, even if they are toxic monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like we try so hard. And I think as women too, because we're like naturally nurturers, we want to be the water, the soil, the seed, the sun, the fertilizer.
The
we
pot. Want to
kill it. When in actuality, like, it's going to, I got to be the water, and you, Danny, got to be the sun, and somebody else got to plant the seed, and somebody got to pull the weeds up.
Yeah.
You know.
Can we talk about the weeds? Can we talk about the weeds? I feel like earlier in this conversation, when we were just talking about just again, you as a single woman, just any person, individual, growing into their power before they get partnered with somebody else, should they choose to get partnered with somebody else, before they have offspring, should they choose to have offspring, but just like fully you. The weeding process, whether it is habits, whether it's people, relationships, mindsets. You talked earlier about like having honest people around you that will help you realize when you're in the darkness and bring you into that light. But that weeding process, how did you start that weeding process?
One weed at a time.
One weed at a time.
Sometimes not even pulling it up by the root. Sometimes just cutting it down low enough so nobody else could see it. Mm. But the root was still there. And it would grow back every single time until I realized, like, no, I actually, the weeds are going to be here. So let me uproot myself and go plant somewhere else.
Because you have the power to do that.
Yeah. And sometimes some people can uproot all the weeds around them and stay, you know, stay put where they originally bloomed from. I couldn't do that because there was too many weeds and I couldn't do it alone. So I just had to uproot and plant myself somewhere else. And that meant like, when I say weeds, it's people, it's relationships, it's food, it's other habits. It's, you know, a lot of different, it's sometimes family members, you know? And I had to just say like, I am Rhonda, I am one rose. I got to uproot, plant myself somewhere else. And then I can control, I not only am the rose, now I'm the gardener. And I can control what else is planted here. I can control how this soil is. I can control all of that. And people will try to plant you places, right? Like they'll take you and put you in their own garden. You don't know what the hell is going on because it ain't your garden. Mm. So you gotta uproot sometimes and make your own shit and figure out how you want to run your own garden. And that's been beneficial to me. Like, I would once upon a time feel guilty for not going to everybody's everything. Now people just know. And they make fun of me like, oh yeah, Rhonda ain't coming. You got damn right.
And it's not in a selfish way either.
Yeah, no, I just don't want to. Mm-hmm. I really do not want to. And I would go places and be miserable. I gotta drive downtown, pay for parking, do all this stuff that I don't want to do. And for what? No. To make someone else's garden grow. Meanwhile, I'm full of weeds because I'm so unhappy.
I'm full of weeds.
If y'all want to come to my garden, you welcome. Come on. You can come over here. But, like, I don't care to do that anymore. And when I tell you, I feel so much better. The pressure of trying to please other people is, there's no word for how great that is. Like, that the pressure of, like, making other people happy, and meanwhile you're making yourself smaller and smaller and smaller at the expense of other people. And that just goes back to that power. Like, you have to figure out, like, what makes you happy, regardless as to what it is. Not thinking about how that impacts other people. And I have to think about the impact of 832 kids every day. On Friday, I don't want to think about their ass. Love them dearly, but I don't want to think about them. Now you, your mama's responsibility.
Yes.
You know, like, I want to think about me, and I don't want to go to everybody's everything. I don't want to hang out in certain areas of the city. I don't want to spend this money. You know, I would spend money that I didn't have all the time, going out for everybody's birthday. Like, I don't have that kind of cash. And even if I did, I ain't got not a single picture on my wall of my house. Because I spend my money doing other stuff. And so here I am coming home to a garden that ain't flourishing because I'm planting seeds everywhere else. So now I just don't do that. And it's the year of our Lord, 2020.
Come on, the year of our Lord, 2020. And being okay with making those decisions, because a lot of times people will make it seem like you changed. Mm-hmm. Because you did change. But it's like, I had to change. Life has changed.
Yeah.
That doesn't work in this phase. For what I need for this garden to grow at this part, I can't do what I used to do.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And that's what I mean when I say it's not selfish. I feel selfish might be a trigger word for me, mm-hmm. because selfish typically has like a negative connotation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it's like, I care about me. Mm-hmm. Like, forget you. With the love of all the loves that I have for you as a person, as a human experience, but I gotta put me first, unapologetically. And I won't feel bad about putting me first, because when I put me first, I am able to pour back out into the world. That's what it gets back to, is like, you cannot pour from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. So when I'm able to be full, when I'm able to put me first, everybody around me is full, and everybody around me feels that power, so that you don't have your brother who's in a different state. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not even you right now.
Yeah. And then I want to be able to, I don't want to come celebrate you, Danielle, at a function when I really don't want to be there.
Because right? You can,
like,
see
I
it.
I want to choose to show up so that I can really show up for you, because I wanted to be here. This was my intention. But when you're doing stuff out of guilt, you don't have a good time, and it doesn't fit the purpose of being there. So why go? But I think sometimes people are missing something in their own life when they feel like they have to be everything for everyone and go everywhere for everyone. And I know that was what it was for me. I wasn't feeling 100% like Rhonda, so I was trying to, like, put myself in all these other spaces so that I could avoid how I was feeling about my own self, if that makes sense. Like, it was, I'm an avoider just in general. I've gotten better, but, like, if there was a leak in my roof right now, I'd be like, well, let's just put a little paint over it. I don't want to look at that. So, and I did that just, like, in life in general. Like, I would just avoid it. You know, I would just, you know, wear more Spanx or just buy a bigger shirt or do whatever I could to avoid having to face the actual music. And when I started to face the music, it hit me like a goddamn ton of bricks, but I'm glad that it did, because now I don't ever have to experience that again. Like, it's like a one and done. And I think that when people are like on that journey of getting their power back, they don't anticipate all of the hard times. They don't anticipate how many times you're going to cry, how many times you're going to feel frustrated, how many times you're going to feel lonely, how many times you're going to want to change your mind, how many times you're going to change your mind a little bit and then have to come back.
The people that aren't going to make it through the journey with you. That's the plot twist, because you never saw that coming.
Right. And so you don't anticipate all of the, you anticipate only the peaks and not the valleys. And sometimes the valleys are a hot mess. They're a hot mess. And that's one of the reasons that keeps me getting up at 4:15 in the morning to go work out, is because I cannot go back. It's too hard to have to travel that same road again because I don't want to get up today. It's not worth it. It's just not. It's just not. No pizza, no tequila, no none of that is worth all that I've had to go through to get here. And I've gone back too many times. I had to, and every time I go back and have to come back to the point that I am now, it's 10 times harder. And so we have to anticipate the valleys and celebrate the peaks, but it ain't going to be that many in the beginning.
Yeah.
Those peaks are going to be very few and far in between. You're going to spend a lot of time in the valley, and it's good for you. It's good to spend that time in the valley because you realize, one, how strong you are, and two, like, while you're going through that valley, you're just digging up stuff. Like, I 100% know that I need to see a therapist. 100%. And that's one of my goals in 2020.
Yeah.
Find somebody that I like, that I can stick with. I don't want to be hopping from couch to couch. Yeah. That's not my ideal. But that came through going through the valley. Like,
valley moments.
I need to see someone because something ain't right or something is right. And I need to talk through that with some professional, somebody other than my girlfriends and, you know, my other friends and coworkers and things like that. Like, I need to talk to somebody who got a license to, you know, talk me through this. So it's been a journey, but I'm so thankful to God. I'm thankful to even have this opportunity to have this conversation, because it's very therapeutic to just be able to share, like, there is power in every single one of us, but what are you willing to sacrifice to get that power? And I'll risk it all at this point, like, whatever it takes. Like, if my job becomes a barrier to where I can't live in my 100% power, then I can't do that job anymore. And that sounds scary to even say aloud, very scary to say aloud, but, like, I love myself and have prioritized myself so much that, like, it's just one of them things.
That is so encouraging, because it is hard. And we never talk about, like, the power of the valley moments and the necessary time we have during those valley moments. Because even when you said it before about the roots, and you don't dig up the root, you just cut it down so nobody can see it, but it's still there and it will grow back. Mm-hmm. But the difference is, every single day you choose to keep moving. You choose to keep going. And that's the part for every one of us, whatever your struggle is. For you, that trigger was the weight. For me, at one point in time, that trigger was the weight. For everybody, and at different points in your life, you will have those different triggers. Whether it be your job, because I have had the job one too. Whether it be interpersonal relationships and being bullied, I've had that too. You know, like, all these different things that form barriers that take us from the valley moments, where you end up in this darkness and it's like, how did I get here? You just got to keep going and keep moving and keep growing in your power, because whether you realize it or not, people are watching. every day when you check in on Facebook, people are watching. I like it. You see my little heart every time because I be up at 4:32. Not working out like you, but I be up. So it's like people will watch you. People will watch your journey, whether they say it or not, mm-hmm. whether they mm-hmm. clapping for you or not.
Yeah.
People are watching. So like you are so powerful and you are so inspiring. And I thank you for being so vulnerable and transparent because this stuff is not easy and we don't talk about it. Like we scratch the surface of like the workplace politics with Black women, but that's a whole different conversation.
Oh yeah. We're gonna have to get on carve out some PTO time or something to really like. That's got to be like a 3-part series because there's so much to that. And I think being vulnerable is beneficial to so many other people. Scratching the surface can touch a few people, but like when you really, I don't have a problem with sharing. Listen, I want this to be a blessing to someone else, because had my little brother not been vulnerable with me and not like took the gloves off, then I wouldn't be here. And so when I talk about the valley, I speak from the valley. I'm not speaking from the peak. I'm very much speaking from the valley. And I wish, I wouldn't even say, you know, people are, I wish I would have had somebody tell me that. Don't necessarily wish that because I wasn't ready to receive it before now.
Mm.
I was very much like I said, any type of critical feedback, not so much when it came to work and stuff like that, but like anything physical about Rhonda personally, I wasn't trying to hear that. Okay. Mm-hmm, but like, I have better grades than you. I have more degrees than you. I own my home. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So it wasn't received, but I don't know, that one moment I was like, all right, sis, what you gonna do? Cause your little brother calling you out. So what's up?
And it was out of love. So shout out to little brother. Shout out to people who really will have those hard conversations with you out of love. Cause this shit ain't fun for nobody. It's not fun for nobody.
It's 100% not a good time. I some days are better than others. And you just have to, like, you learn to appreciate the smallest things. Like, today I was like, the sun is out. Like, this is going to be a good day. Those, like, affirmations that, you know, it seems so cliche, right? Like, people are like, you should just say positive affirmations to yourself every day. And I'm like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I do understand the power of words. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Come on.
And so there's days where I'm just like, nothing is going to steal my joy today, period. All hell can, I don't care. Nothing is going to steal my joy today. And so it doesn't always have to be the affirmation like, you are a Black woman, you are strong, you are great. Like, it doesn't even have to be that. It could be like, you know what, I'm gonna smile today because I am happy.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's those things that get you through the valley. So
I love the valley moments, and I love the fact that we have so many people who are willing to share their valley moments so that we recognize we not down there alone. You in a valley, I'm in a valley, somebody else in a valley, and we can be like, oh my God, this valley is so scary and so whatever, but I'm not here alone.
Nope.
Like, I'm not here alone. It feels good to know, like, and to feel acknowledged and seen and received.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for coming on the show. How can people, if they want to like connect with you, do you have any social media handles where people can follow you?
I do. So my Facebook is Rhonda Elise, Rhonda with an H, Elise, A-L-Y-S-E. On Instagram, I am queenrhonda.22. Shout out to the Sororers of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. So that's where you can find me.
I love you so much, Rhonda. You truly are my sister in the work and in life. And I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait to come back. This is great.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me. So thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.